Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you and praise you and bless you that you are our God. And we've gathered here tonight in your holy and precious name and ask, dear Lord, that we have a prayer that we say together, give us this day our daily bread. You fed us this morning, dear Lord, through your table. And tonight, dear Lord, we would ask that you would feed us afresh and anew, that you would provide us with that water which comes from your Holy Spirit, the water of life, he who gives the revelation from your word. And dear Lord, we ask that your word will sustain us for the bread of life that we need. Dear Lord, speak wisdom to us tonight. Challenge us, rebuke us, convict us, and set us free. For dear Lord, we are your people. And without you, dear Lord, we have nothing and are nothing. Speak to us now. We would ask, Lord Jesus Christ, in God's holy name, and God's precious and holy people said. Well, thank you for inviting me. It's always a pleasure to come amongst you as people that worship. And the worship we've experienced here this evening has been a blessing to us. I think we always say we always feel much more blessed than I don't know if we get the blessing from us. But it's always wonderful. Just to remind you, this particular Bible reading is also what Christ spoke when he was rejected at Nazareth. He said in Luke 4:18, it says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, the recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. You have been anointed to bring good news to those who need to hear. I wonder if what good news you have in your heart. I don't know about you, but my experience is, and many of the different places we go to, do we really get about excited? It's wonderful to enjoy your worship tonight. Do we get really excited about what Christ has done for us? Do we really know what it really means, that salvation, and the fact that we have a place in heaven with him forever if we've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? And are we really excited about it? If you go back to the time of the Acts of the Apostles, basically they were kicking down doors, they were talking out in the streets about what God has done for them, their first love that they have. Have you got that good news in your hearts? Are you that excited about it? It's very easy in our daily life to feel downtrodden. But, loved one of God, know this, that you're going to be in heaven one day. You're going to praise and worship him. And he's going to be there looking at you, smiling at you as you enter that throne room in heaven. Say, look at my children. He's going to be excited about you. I wonder if you're excited about him. And of course, we are building the kingdom upon this earth so we can have a bit of that experience here upon this earth. As people come through this place, as you are gathered together as God's people, they're experiencing a part of heaven. I wonder if you realize that, that you're a part of heaven here upon this earth. But, you know, what is your reflection of heaven? Christ says here, or Isaiah says here, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he anointed me to bring good news. Do we bring good news to those who need to hear it? Or do we love bad news? We seem to love to enjoy the gossip of those who fail, don't we? And if someone succeeds, it's always good just to have that little bit of dirt on them, just to bring them down to size, isn't it? You know, it's something that's in our nature. You know, why should they succeed? Ah, but I know this about them, this about them. Where our God forgives us, he wipes the slate clean, wipes it clean. This morning we gathered around the table, and I said at that time with that communion that we sipped together and ate together, he forgave, he's forgiven you. All that you've done is gone and forgiven, and you're set free. But how often do we harbor in our hearts unforgiveness for others? And forgiveness for others. That little bit of dirt that perhaps we've got on them. I know what they used to be like. Yeah, that's what they used to be. To bring good news, you see, is our goal, to tell others what God has done for us. You know, if we have nothing else to tell them, you say, I have a safe and secure place in heaven. And God has freed me from this burden of sin. This burden that drags me down, that makes me feel terrible about myself and all those around me. He's freed me from that. He's lifted me up away from that. Do you have that in your hearts tonight? Do you? Do you? And you are willing to profess that to others? That God has done for you? You know, we've been also sent to bind the brokenhearted. You would think perhaps, looking back all those years ago, why were they brokenhearted? We think it's a modern symptom, but really brokenheartedness goes back through time. We've been sent to bind up the brokenhearted. You know, people die of broken hearts. They suffer because of broken hearts. I wonder if yours is broken tonight. And have you reached out to someone that you know, perhaps within your fellowship, or someone who visits you to say, please bind my broken heart? Have you asked God to bring it together for you, which He does? For you see, our God is a creator God, a God who blesses. Our God is a healing God. Our Bible reading tells us our God is here to help those who have had their hearts broken. I know I've had my heart broken, torn to shreds. What about you? Know this hope and this blessing in Christ, because He'll take your heart and He'll reconstruct it and put it together the way it should be, so it would be one to bless people. And not in that pain and that anger of someone destroying your heart, that you will destroy theirs. Rather, you will build them up, because you've experienced that yourselves. Have you been through terrible things? Have people done many things to hurt you? Have you been dragged through the muck and mire? And have your friends and loved ones broken your heart? Is it in tatter and pieces? I pray tonight, loved one of God, that you've not experienced that, or if you have experienced it, then God, ask God and He will come and He will heal you. If your heart is in pieces and you don't know what to do in your life, He will put it back together again. You see how God can, for He created it in the first place. He can take those broken pieces and put them back together. He can pour soothing oil upon our wounds and take the sting which once gave us great pain. He can soothe that sting away from our lives. I was once at Griffstones Baptist Church, and we had a lady there, forgotten the name, who was a missionary, and they went to an African country, and she went there with her intended to be her fiancé. And as soon as more or less they've stepped off the boat into the country, her fiancé was killed. But the Lord kept on calling her to that country. Well, she said, Lord, my heart is broken. How can I minister to these people? For they've killed my fiancé. She got on her knees and cried out to the Lord, Lord, if the only way for me to stay is make me forget. Make me forget. And this is what God did. He took the sting of the memory of what took place away from her life. And God will do that for you. If something is in your life that has broken your heart, He will pour oil upon that situation and take the sting away from you. If you do it for others, He will do it for you. You know, we see many people in captivity today. Perhaps not a physical one in our surroundings, but people seem to be trapped in their own thoughts. They have depression. They feel that there's no love in their lives. It could be the fact that no one ever visits them or has time for them, especially as we get older. There are also people who are in darkness. who in their captivity they see no light, and they especially do not see the light of Christ. God has given you the power and the capability to enter people's lives and rescue them from darkness. If you have a testimony to tell, to say, yes, there is light. Yes, there is life. Yes, there is a better way of existing. Yet there is a better way to be. You have that capability. If not, then cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, provide me with the opportunity to bless others the way that you have blessed me. There are so many people in darkness. So many people who are lost and alone. We just have to look at our media. Look, really, ask for the eyes of Jesus to look around us in our communities and even our own homes. Perhaps tonight you feel that you're a captive, that you are in chains. You feel that you're in a deep, dark dungeon. There's no light ever comes your way. You're trapped by the walls that surround you. You're held captive. And even though you struggle to get free, you have no hope in your heart. And you desire freedom. See how God can free you. Our God can free you from these dark places, from those chains that bind you, the things that keep you locked up. You know, you may feel perhaps there's a jailer outside that jangles the keys in torment in front of you, taunting you, and that if you do see a bit of light, it pains you, and that sunshine and the light is like a dream far away. Our God will free you. Our God, you see, sets the captives free. You don't have to be kept locked up in that dungeon that perhaps you've built for yourself or somebody else has built for you. You can come out into the sunshine and allow it to caress your skin and your body so that you would feel the warmth through and through. You see, God leads you upwards and away into the fresh breeze of the scented air of the flowers that he has created. From that dank, dark, musty smell, that damp smell of the dungeon. He says, follow me, and I will make you free. Do you have a God to follow? Can you follow in Jesus' footsteps? One of the ways that we can follow is to join a Bible study and be with other people of like-minded people who are moving forward, who are discovering the path that is forward. I hope you have a Bible study like that here to move you forward, to challenge you, to take you from those places of darkness and of ignorance into the light that profess the blessing that Christ is and the wisdom of God into your life. If you don't have one, then begin one. Start one. But look after those who feed you. Make sure that they're fed so they can take you to those pastures that are green, which our Lord inhabits and desires to feed his people. Perhaps you mourn loss. The loss of your youth, the loss of your first love, the loss of opportunities of the past, the loss of peace which you once gained have now allowed to slip through your fingers, the loss of grace and passion you once felt. You know, the Lord has such great passion for you. You're such an awesome people. You know, you young folk, if you only could see what God has for you, and if only you would jump into it and allow him to take you where places perhaps you wouldn't even dream or believe. I know many older folk think, well, I'm too old for this sort of thing. My heart won't put up with it. But God can use you such in an awesome way if you would just join him in his kingdom. The effect, the impact that you can have. You see, many times in the Old Testament, it's rarely that the Lord chooses the young. It's usually the old, isn't it? You know, Moses, Abram. and they have an awesome impact upon this world. You know, it's never too late. Especially if you're youngish, make sure that you're caught up with what God is doing, because your impact can be so immense and touch so many lives. But you have to have a passion. Do you have passion? Because he has it for you. Otherwise, why send his son? He has a passion for you. And that passion is something that we cannot generate ourselves for. It's a blessing from him. It has to be a fire inside of us to be passionate for God. Have that passion inside of you. Allow him to blow with his spirit into your life, so that passion is full of flame, so that you're hot and available and ready. And what it says in God's word, he can do something with people that are cold or hot. If you're lukewarm, you're useless. Be on fire for God, because you see, he's passionate for you. He's passionate for you. If you mourn, allow God to soothe away the loss, to restore your vigor and purpose. Our God, you see, provides his gifts of love and grace and peace and his passion. He rekindles the fire of life, so you're able to strive to do greater things than perhaps you would ever conceive of. Ask him. Allow him. You know, do not be faint. Do not be afraid. One of the things that this world desires to do is make us afraid. It's a thing that perhaps might go through Parliament at the moment, and this is because of other faiths. It could be that if you are any form of preacher or ministers, then the government will need to know and assess you to ensure. It's a bit like the Safe to Grow thing that we go through, to ensure that you're not radical. Trouble is, they've misused the word radical. Radical means back to basics. But we've taken that word to mean something that's negative and attacks our communities. But you know, are you a back to the basics person? Do you take what God says and the truth of his word, and do you use that in your life to ensure that you have impact on your community? You are to soar like eagles and know such joy in the power of his spirit that you should fly through this world, that nothing would daunt you. You do not have to be afraid. Nothing can stand before you, for his God is with you. What can stand before you? If God is behind you, if he's in front of you, if he's inside of you, if his spirit is indwelling you, nothing can stand before you. Nothing can stand. You can attain all things, as God will enable you. You will be awesome and have great purpose in your life. We are never to faint. We are always to know the power of the Holy Spirit, for he is the sustainer of the universe. The one who created us is here for us, encouraging us, maintaining us, and desires the best for us. Why faint when we have such power? Why faint when we have such a sustainer? Why faint when the God of all things, the uncreated one, desires the best things for you? To achieve these things, you must be planted in the Lord. You are to be a majestic as an oak tree, to your roots to go deep into his word and who and what he is, so nothing will assail you, that your branches will reach out and you will shelter those around you because of who and what you are in Christ. Are you close to the Lord? You should be, for the gardener desires to tend you. so that you would be strong, that you would have purpose, that wisdom would come from you. The God of all ages is looking for a people, so that he would walk amongst them, and they would be an awe and a wonder because of the stature of who and what they are in Christ. This is the God that Isaiah is writing about. This is the God who sends his Spirit so that you as individuals and corporately no longer have to be shrinking violets, but rather what people would see was these planted oak trees and see that nothing assails you. No rain, no storm, no wind, no drought, no plague or fire, for you are a mighty forest. And you know that you are cared for by the one who created this universe and loves you so much and desires to be with you so much. You see, you are his chosen. You are the ones who have the opportunity for your hearts to be renewed, for your vigor to return, for your limbs and lives to be transformed, for you be able to love and gain peace, for your hearts to be no longer mourning loss, rather that they would experience life and power and existence which has been promised you, so that you would be a joyous people, and those around you would look at you and would wonder, wow, what is this? What are they? Who are they? What is it about them? It may be that you feel weary. And come to Jesus and allow him to minister to you so that you would be a blessing. Come to the one who created you, the one who formed you, the one who loves you, the one who cares for you, so that you would be such a blessing. Because he desires you so much. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you, because the Lord has anointed you to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent you to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of spirit of fainting, so that you would be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, so that he would be glorified. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I pray for your people. Dear Lord, empower them. Let them know they are a people of righteousness. That, dear Lord, they are yours. They are great oaks that stand. Dear Lord, that they are an awesome people. Loved ones of God, tonight, if you mourn, if your heart is broken, if you feel imprisoned, let the Lord minister to you. If you feel that you're weak and you have not much vigor, allow the Lord in you with his power and his spirit, so he would allow you to soar like eagles, that you would know his joy. And that all the things that have been proclaimed to you tonight would come to pass in your life, in this fellowship, and wherever you go. Dear Lord, I ask this for your people here in Christ Jesus' holy and precious name, so that he made this possible. And because of that, dear Lord, he taught us a prayer we now share together. Our Father, who art in heaven,